fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I'm going to continue to work through the beginning of St. Peter's second letter, which is such a beautiful letter that I think when we take time to allow what Peter is teaching here to lay hold of our hearts, it can change us. It will change us. I know it from my own experience in life, and I know that God wants you to be able to hear the words of St. Peter as if they were written personally for you. Because in a very real way, they were. This is the truth about Jesus and the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit. And it was all done for you, for me, and for every single person in the world. And Peter's glorying in, he's exalting, he's rejoicing in what God has done for him. And he's exhorting his brothers and sisters in these small communities in Asia Minor that are being persecuted, they're marginalized. Life is tough. But he wants them to understand who they are. He knows through his own life, having experienced persecution, these were probably written when he was in Rome, he would eventually be crucified upside down, the apostles were persecuted, martyred. He knew that, as we ended the program yesterday with his words, we've been given these precious and very great promises. He knew that the precious promises of God, truly great promises, of the gift of eternal life, of adoption as sons and daughters of God, as having our sins forgiven, washed totally clean, our shame, our pain taken away from us, and being brought into, by his power, his excellence, the scripture says here, into his life and into godliness and devotion and relationship to God that Jesus shares with the Father. Everything that belongs to him, he wants to give to you. That's a fact. This world and the power of this world, we'll hear Peter today, the passions of this world are set against the kind of peace and unity and godliness that Peter's talking about here. But the passions of this world are driven by the anxieties, the fear of death, the lusts, the envy of the world presses in on us every single day. And it attempts to preoccupy our minds and grab hold of our passions and stir us so that we're completely preoccupied in a kind of frantic, panicked disposition, kind of orientation to life. And we don't have time, as a result, to open hearts and minds to these truths, to receive them in quiet and peace and allow them to transform us. Because the energy and the panic and the drive of the world, the absolute commitment to uninterrupted entertainment and bombardment of our minds and hearts and stimulation from beginning to end, all of it, it's a false gospel being presented to us. It's a distraction of the enemy. But let's hear what Peter has to say here. I'm going to just quickly read the verses we've covered the last couple of days. He said in verse 3, this is chapter 1 of 2 Peter, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His power has granted these things to you. It's a gift to you. How? Through knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That's your destiny. Why are you here in the world? Every one of us, friends, will have days where we feel like, does my life have any purpose? Does my life have any meaning? Where's my life headed? Regret about what has or has not happened in our lives up to this point. Jesus wants us to just give that all to him. Let him take it to the cross and crucify it once and for all. And to receive the gift that we know where we're going. We were literally made in Christ to share in his glory and excellence. Friends, you are headed for absolute fulfillment. Glory beyond all compare. So this is what Peter's saying. And he says, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises. Now, here's where we left off yesterday. That through these, that is these precious and very great promises, and the things that Christ has given to us, through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion. Peter's speaking to a community that is fighting against the early Christians, denying the faith, denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, denying that Jesus will come again in glory, trying to undermine their faith and belief. And the culture was dominated by the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, as St. John would say, dominated by passions and pleasures. And so they were slaves to the passions and pleasures that drive them. So Peter's saying, the world is fallen, it's corrupted. What does he mean? I've said many times here on the program, what the scripture means in this context, when it talks about the world, it talks about the fallen dimension of this world. People feel it every single day and see it. I think right now with the confusion of the politics, how screwed up the country feels in so many ways, the panic of the wars and the border problems, and just one thing after another, people are often filled with anxiety and fear. And then the world serves up the distractions, right? The perversions, the pornography, one movie after another that's totally focused on violence or evil or wickedness. And it's kind of crazy to see how much of that has gone on. The complete perversion of things that God himself has created, has God given to us. The two great institutions of human existence, for human society, God has given to us is the family and the church. And the enemy is constantly trying to destroy both of them. No question about it. So we're living in a world that's fallen, it's corrupted, it's broken. And so Peter said, if we don't receive what Christ has given to us, we'll be subject to those powers, and they'll dominate our lives. In 1 Peter, he touches on the same thing, his first letter. He said, you know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited to you from your fathers, not with imperishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He's ransomed us. He's ransomed us from what? St. Peter says, your futile ways. That is, the world is under the domination of Satan. Scripture is very clear about that. The fallen dimension of the world. And the world continually sets up its own glory, its own standard, its own throne, you might say, its own kingdom, constantly self-congratulating, whatever it is, trying to say that the gold is all here in this world, that getting everything that's here, that fame and power is the name of the game. Ruling in this world is the name of the game. Dominating, winning only is the name of the game. And Peter said, you were ransomed from these futile ways. Futile because none of what we try to create with our own resources is going to save us, is going to give us the eternal life that we need, is going to get our sins forgiven, is going to put us in right relationship with the Creator. None of it will get it done. God initiates. God brings that about. So Peter said, all the things that you've created and your false gods, and your idolatries, and your lust of the eyes, again, the pride of life, all these things, Peter says, this is nothing but futility. It's intense human effort and leading toward a goal that it can never achieve. St. Paul looks at it similarly. He describes it this way in Titus. The apostles talk about this corruption dimension and the work of the passions in all the letters of the New Testament, pretty much. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and following, Paul says, for the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. In some ways, this simple little paragraph here is a summary of what Peter's teaching in his second letter, the one that we're kind of slowly making our way through here. Let me read this again. For the grace of God has appeared. What does that mean? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but have everlasting life. It's Jesus given to us, who's come to save and rescue us, who proclaimed the kingdom of God is at hand, said, repent and come enter the kingdom through repentance and baptism and entering into the church. So that's God's gift. So that's what Paul's saying. For God's gift has appeared to us for the salvation of all of us. Why has the gift come? Why has Jesus come? Because we need salvation. The whole world needs salvation. One of the futile thoughts, one of the predominant thoughts in the world today that's a sign of utter futility and stupidity is that we don't need to be saved. We're already good. Or everybody's already saved. And we're saved by following our own desires and our own designs and creating our own meaning. That's a fundamental lie. It's an ignoring or rejecting God's mercy, God's grace coming to us and given to us in his beloved Son. And the world doesn't think it needs to repent of anything. Jesus came so that sins could be forgiven. He told the apostles right after he rose from the dead, he sent them forth to bring repentance and the forgiveness of sins to the world. That's the grace that's come to us. Then Paul goes on, he says, he trains us to renounce irreligion, that's false religion and worldly passions, idolatry and worldly passions, and calls us to live sober, that is literally, don't get drunk, sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. And then we await the blessed hope, the confident expectation of our fulfillment, awaiting our blessed hope. What is our blessed hope? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what's in each human heart that's baptized into Christ. I'm going to jump back to Peter now here in the verse I read earlier, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion. How does passion dominate your life? Lust, envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, bitterness. What is it? What are the things that dominate your life that Jesus wants you to give to him so he can crucify them? He can nail them on the cross. Give them over to him. Or the passion to be first always in everything. The passion to have the glory of the world in your hands. To have fame and power and influence. And what is it, friend, that dominates you? What passions? Jesus wants to bring them to the cross. He wants to crucify them. And he wants to free us from them. That's why it's by his divine power that this is made possible. If we're not in Christ and baptized in his Spirit, alive in his Spirit, we don't even know that we're enslaved. But when you come to know Jesus and the Spirit of truth and the freedom that comes in the Spirit, and your mind starts getting renewed, you kind of go, wow, I was incredibly enslaved to the world. Again, St. Peter's saying we've been given this power so that we can escape this corruption that's in us because of our passions. And then we are to become partakers of the divine nature. Here's the exchange. Put away the passions and lust that dominate your life. Put away the hold the world has on you to pursue money, sex, power, whatever it is that's imbalanced in your life, that's disordered. Give it to Jesus Christ. He wants to take it away so he can give you something. He doesn't want to take it away and leave you empty. He wants to take it away because he wants to give you something that's beyond your wildest imagining. He wants to give you your heart's desire. You don't even know your heart yet, the depths of your heart. Because in you, in the depths of your being, is a cry, a longing, a desire to be united to God. And layers of all the world and its idols that put on top of our hearts and that core of our being, we can't even touch. We don't even know what's deep inside us. And what we're made for is to become partakers of the divine nature. Jesus has come to give you a share in his glory. I want to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. Just this phrase, become partakers of the divine nature. Friends, believe it. It's for you. There's nothing better. It's the only thing that will free you and satisfy the longings of your heart. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.